It's wonderful to be here this morning, and I've been almost 11 weeks in the States, and I came back a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, and so it's wonderful to be here this morning and minister and just could be with you. I felt so much faith in the room. I think you've been building so well, you and the elders here. And I feel so much faith in your people. Like the atmosphere is charged with faith. It's beautiful to encounter that. And the other thing I've been so aware of since the prayer time is oil. I feel like you've been digging wells as a church and you're finding oil. I felt oil this morning as we were praying. And so well done. Man, it's beautiful to see the people of God full of God. I wanted to start today with worship, and then I felt the Lord leading in different ways. Is that okay if we share a little bit, and I'll try and make it as quick as possible and then jump into worship at the end and have a beautiful encounter with the Lord. So I'm in trouble because I have a terrible handwriting and I forgot my glasses at home. So the combination is scary. But I wanted to start by saying this. Christianity is not a social club. It's not a social club. It's a community, a people who carries within them the revelation of Jesus. And I wanted to remind us of that this morning. Christ is Christianity. Listen to this. He is the author, the finisher, the sustainer, and the substance of the Christian life. Let me say that again. He is the author, the finisher, and the sustainer, and the substance of the Christian life. Jesus. We were sitting in the States in one of our leaders' meetings, and I looked at the guys and I said to them, do you know that the apostolic doesn't build healthy churches? And they looked at me, what do you mean? Do you know that elders doesn't build healthy churches? I said, Jesus builds healthy churches. In partnership with the apostolic, in partnership with elders, in partnership with deacons, in partnership with our hearts. But He is the author, the finisher, the sustainer, and the substance of all of this, the beginning and the end of it. And we can never build to our values more than what we build to Him. We can never see our values more than what we see Him, Jesus. And so I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about Him, this Jesus. I've seen it so many times. I said it before, you know, Christianity is really having a holy obsession with a holy King. When you lose your holy obsession with Him, right, you lose the wonder, the awe. When you lose the awe and the wonder, you slip into robotic Christianity. You just tick the boxes. Once you tick the boxes, you're on your way to compromise. And it all started with this obsession with that man, the one whom John beheld in the book of Revelation 5. Don't weep, look at him. You know, it's an amazing thing. I think it's called to me. You know, when John was weeping, there's no one worthy to open the scrolls, right? Someone tapped John on the shoulder, said, hey, John, don't weep. Behold the lion. Do you know who showed the lamb to John? It was an elder. And I almost feel like the first responsibility of an elder is to say, behold him. Look at him. This Jesus. So I want to jump into our story. I want to read Matthew 6. We're going to read some scriptures today. Is that okay with you? And because I want to take you on an adventure and on a journey. And hopefully, as we read the scripture, majesty will wash your eyes as you rediscover and behold this beautiful God King, this worthy Lamb. I wanted to jump into Matthew 16, verse 13 to 18. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, I want to stop there. It's an interesting, he took his disciples to a very specific place. Caesarea Philippi was where they worshiped the god Pan. It was one of the sources of the Jordan River. And what they would do, they would have a temple there, and they would have, from orgies to blood sacrifices to any other idolatry. It was the heart of idolatry in the time of Jesus, Caesarea Philippi. It was such a dangerous, evil, wicked, unholy place that if you were a Jew in those days, you will actually, if it was shorter to your destination, but you had to walk past Caesarea Philippi, you would choose another path. You would ignore that place. It was dark. So Jesus takes his disciples to a place that is called the gates of hell. The gates of hell. Caesarea Philippi. It was known for that. So that's the backdrop. The heart is idolatry, worshiping idols. He takes his disciples and he asks them, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they say, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, and here's the question of this morning, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he's sitting his disciples down and saying, who do people say I am? And they say, well, we've heard some people believe you're just a prophet, others believe you're Elijah, and but who do you say I am? And then the Father whispers into Peter's heart the revelation. He takes bread from heaven and he puts it into his heart. And Peter now sees him, like really sees him for the first time. I think he kind of knew, but now the veil of Peter's heart is pulled back. And like this revelation that this one who asked the question is God. He is God. Christ. So the Father whispers into Peter's heart. That revelation wakes up in him. This Jesus is Christ. He is Lord. He is God. He is holy. And so Peter says, you are the Christ. You're the Son of God. And Jesus, blessed are you. For this is not something, Peter, you could think up by yourself. It was given to you by my Father. And then he goes further. Jesus says, and Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. He wasn't saying to Peter, on you, I will build my church. He was saying, Peter, on the very revelation that's in your heart right now, on that revelation, Peter, on that rock, I will build my church. I will build my church on the revelation of Jesus. And that he is fully God, Christ, King, Lord. Are you with me? Excuse me, my voice is waking. I should have woke up earlier. Ephesians 2:20. I hope I gave it in the right order. He's talking about the church. He says, I will build the church on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Paul is speaking. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. On that rock, I will build my church, Peter. I am the cornerstone, the foundation of the house. It's interesting, you know, when you look at that, what the picture is, I'm building on apostles and prophets, me being the cornerstone. In other words, the revelation of Jesus, the nature of Jesus permeating through the foundation, through the apostles and the prophets. He's the beginning and the end, the author, the finisher, the sustainer and the substance of the Christian life. Who do you say I am? Most probably the most important question you can ask in your life. What's your revelation of him? I wanted to jump into another story, Luke 24, 13 to 35. We're jumping into a story. Jesus has been crucified. He's been raised from the dead. This is where we are. Mary has just seen he's no longer in the grave. He has risen. They've encountered angels. Now we're picking up the story. This is Luke. The first thing Jesus does after his resurrection in the Gospel of Luke, he builds now on the revelation he's given Peter. Right, and we are picking up the story. Two men walking on the road back home to Emmaus. They've been witnesses of the crucifixion. They probably follow Jesus in his earthly ministry, but now they're sad and confused because when you read it, you'll find there's doubt in them. Because for maybe he was the one, maybe not. We're no confused, but all we know is we saw him die. There's rumors that he's like risen, but we're not sure. So Jesus comes next to them. Isn't that amazing? Like, I would say that's a good quiet time. Don't you think, you're praying in your room and the next moment Jesus shows up next to you. And I'll show you what Jesus does. Interestingly, the first thing he does is he reveals himself. Can we read together? That very day, two were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking, discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk and as if you didn't know?" And they stood still and looking sad. Then one of them named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, and listen to the language, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, yes, here is their doubt, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and before God and all the people." So I say, what things concerning this Jesus, and this is now the doubt. He was a man, maybe a prophet, and he did mighty works. God definitely used him. We were witnesses of that, and all the people. "And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But when we had hoped," listen again to the doubt, "when we had hoped that he was the one to redeem his..." We hoped. We thought maybe. "Yes, and besides all that, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive." I mean, there's now these rumors. "Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." So this is now the conversation. Jesus is walking. Their hearts are in doubt. Maybe he was. It could be. There's rumors that he rose. There's other rumors that his body was taken. We're unsure, but we're sad. And then Jesus went through all the books of Moses, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, and the prophets, all the books that followed, until the book of Malachi before we get into the Gospels. And he started in Genesis. And every scripture, every picture that was the revelation of him, he took it out and he opened it for them to see. They saw him in Genesis and Exodus. And they saw him right to the end in the book of Malachi. Can you imagine that conversation? Jesus revealing himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted, I love that. as if he were going further. It's just like, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. You know, there are times when Jesus is in us, with us, but then there are special times where he comes in a different way. And whenever he comes in those ways, your hearts need to be, don't go on. Stay with us. Stay with us. And he will. So we went in to stay with him. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And I want you to see something. The bread, the broken bread, the bread which was now broken, is now breaking bread for them to see. Such a beautiful picture. He himself has been broken. And he breaks the bread, blesses it, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn? When he talked, when he revealed himself in Genesis, didn't you burn, Cleopas? When he revealed himself in Exodus, didn't you burn? Didn't you feel like your insides were turning when we beheld him? When he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures. What scriptures? The scriptures pertaining himself. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were at the... So now they've seen him. That revelation that came into Peter, they are now running and burning with that same revelation. And you'll see it now. We're gathered together, saying, listen to how their language have changed. Remember, what did Jesus ask them? Why are you sad? They said, there was Jesus of Nazareth, this man, maybe a prophet. Rumors that but we don't know. He opened the scriptures about himself. Their hearts started burning. He broke the bread that was broken, and they saw him. Now the language have changed from this Jesus of Nazareth, this man, this maybe prophet, to the Lord. Do you see that? No doubt. And the revelation that's coming out of them, listen to the language. This Jesus, not Jesus of Nazareth anymore, it is the Lord. The King, right? The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. The Lord. The revelation of Jesus. So he tells Peter, who do you say I am? The Father whispers into Peter's heart. He is Christ. He's God. Peter sees him. Jesus says to Peter, on this revelation I will build my church, Peter. Jesus is crucified. He's risen. The first thing he does, he gathers two men on the road to Emmaus and he starts building on that foundation. The revelation that he is the Christ, the Lord. They run to the others. The Lord has appeared. Do you see that? You still with me? It's okay. Just a couple of minutes. Acts 2. Verse 14 to 41. Jesus said to his disciples and a company of people, go wait for the promise. And so now they're waiting, and the Spirit is about to fall upon the church. The church is now the church is in the birth canal. She's about to be born, right? We're about to witness that now in the book of Acts. And I wanted you to see something here. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice. And why he did that was the Spirit fell. And now there was kind of chaos, like you've seen at times in worship, you know, when the Spirit moves. Some are speaking in the tongues, others are speaking in foreign languages. And so a great crowd gathered, because it was an odd time of the day for people in their minds to maybe be drunk, or what's happening here? I'm hearing people speaking in my native tongue, and some is speaking in weird. What's going on, right? And Peter, now seeing the crowd gathering and the confusion on their faces, He's like, this is the time. And so he gathers the crowd, and we are now witnesses of that conversation. Can you imagine? You are now, you've come from all over Israel for the feast. You are there. Some have maybe heard of Jesus. Others have not. Some have been witnesses of him. Some saw him being crucified. That's the mix. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. We're going to read a little bit, but I hope you'll see. Give ear to my words. So he's going to make his argument. He's putting his argument on the table. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. So now he's talking to those who have an understanding of biblical prophecy, the Jews. And in the last day shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Like, this is, you've read these, this is what's happening. You know, he's bringing them into this context. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon, listen now, the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, right? A man, because that's what they believed, the rumors. A man, only a man, attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders. That's what the two on the road in Emmaus believed as well. And signs that God did through him in your midst, as you know yourselves, as yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord, always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. What a beautiful verse. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried. So in other words, he goes a little bit further in his argument. It's like, you all know David. You love him. You read his Psalms. But let me tell you something about David. He's dead. And his bones are still in his tomb. And his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. Why are they witnesses? Because the revelation came. The Spirit of God fell upon, and the revelation of this Christ, whom he said to Peter, on this rock I will build. The road to Emmaus, did not our hearts, the revelation that he is Lord, he is Christ. This Jesus, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourself are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This is what Peter is witnessing to them. This Jesus whom you crucified. Listen to this. Now, when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard the revelation of Jesus, and that he's not merely a man from Nazareth. This Jesus is Lord God, the Christ, Majesty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now, when they heard this, it's interesting, Peter didn't talk sin. He goes there, just Jesus. This Jesus. This Jesus. This Jesus. This Jesus. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter said to them, here we get, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And 3,000 were added. This Jesus. And he pulls back the curtain. I can see Peter in Caesarea and Jesus saying, "Who do you say I am, Peter?" And the revelation comes. The Father whispers into his heart. And he sees him as your Lord. You are the Christ. And now that same Peter, whom the Father whispered in to his heart this revelation, is standing and he's talking to 3,000 about that revelation that's burning like a flame in him. This Jesus. This Jesus. The author, the finisher, the sustainer, the substance of the Christian life. He's Lord. And 3,000 sees him with an unveiled face. They cut to the heart by this beautiful revelation of Jesus. Say, what do we do? Just repent. Ask for the forgiveness of your sins. And so the church is born on the revelation of Jesus. And not this Jesus, the man of... No. He is Lord. You with me? He is Lord. So you know we're part of a move called 412, right? And one of the things we so love to talk about is Acts 2:42 to 47. We now see the church untouched. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to prayer, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship. You know what I'm talking about. So, just a beautiful little connection I want to make this morning for you. So Peter preaches to the how many of the thousands? The revelation of Jesus. Peter, on this rock I will build my church. They see Jesus. They believe in Jesus as Lord. The church is born. You know what's interesting for me? You don't read between this Acts 2:14 to 41. Then we jump into 42. They devoted themselves. We don't see Peter taking the church aside and telling them, "Let's talk values now." The revelation of Jesus came in, and the life of Jesus was permeating through them towards one another. And the result of a people now rooted in Christ was they devoted themselves. So I want to go a little further. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings because of the revelation of Jesus. They devoted themselves to prayer because of the revelation of Jesus. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread because of the revelation of Jesus. They devoted themselves to fellowship because of the revelation of Jesus. You see, Acts 2 to 42 is not something we're aiming for. It's the fruit of a people who's properly grounded in the revelation of Jesus. And the revelation of Jesus that he is Lord, Master, King. Fully God. the revelation of Jesus. So coming back to an earlier statement when I said the apostolic doesn't build healthy churches. Jesus built healthy churches in partnership with the author, the finisher, the sustainer, the substance, the beginning and the end of the Christian life and the Christian church. We have to build with the revelation of Jesus. I wanted to read you this. I'm almost done, Rian. I wanted to read. So this is, my heart moves within me. The most exhilarating, most beautiful, most glorious, most majestic revelation of God is His Son. Jesus. You know, He's been satisfying the heart of God eternally. He who has no beginning and no end. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, He did not become the bread at His birth. He's always been the bread. And then another question when you ask that, if He's been eternally bread, what does that mean? It makes sense for us, right? The bread of life. But if He's been eternally bread, what does that mean? It means this. He has always, eternally, fully satisfied His Father. He's always been at my right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I read something years ago, said, if He has eternally, fully satisfied the Father, how do we get bored with Him? The fullness of Jesus. I wanted to read Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is, see the revelation. He keeps building on it. So the Lord, word Lord is kurios, master. It simply means one who has absolute power and authority over another. Possessor. Possesses you. He has absolute and full authority and power over you. That's talking about how we submit and surrender to that lordship. Possessor, master. Luke 6, 46 to 49. Why do you call me then? Jesus speaks. Why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Why do you call me Lord, but you do not do what I say? If the revelation of Jesus as Lord has come into your lives and become the cornerstone, the very foundation, if we confess that this Jesus is Lord, the heart posture and the heart's response is full obedience, fully committed, fully surrendered, tender, a heart yielding before the majesty of that great God. Why then would you call me that, but yet you do not follow as of me? Philippians 2:9, we're coming to a close. this Jesus. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can we maybe read that again, but could we read it together as worship? Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So this morning was a simple revelation, a reminder that Jesus is Lord. And that's the rock we build upon, that revelation. And may we be a people that's fully yielded, fully surrendered to his Lordship. He is the author, the finisher, the beginning, the end, the sustainer and the substance of the Christian life. This revelation of Jesus. So I wanted to do two things, and then we're going to go into worship. Unless Rian feels something else. Number one, if you've never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus, like the book of Acts, when they said, our hearts were cut, what should we do to receive this gift, to know this man intimately, what should we do? Just repent, confess your sins. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that he is Lord. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to make that commitment this morning, we want to pray with you. If there's anyone here and you need to do that, will you lift your hand?